This show was first broadcast on Free FM 89.0, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access radio station. For more information on our station and our wide range of programs, visit freefm.org.nz. Podcasting. It's easier than you think, and Free FM has everything you need, from help with initial planning right through to hosting and delivery across popular podcast platforms. Our content creators are just ordinary people delivering engaging weekly podcasts and radio shows on all sorts of issues that affect them, their communities, and our society. We're really keen to support new content by, for, and about a wide range of community groups and issues. Interested? Go to freefm.org.nz or see our Facebook page to find out more. You're listening to Free FM 89.0, and this is Free Choice 2019, a forum for candidates to explain their aims and platforms going into this year's local government elections. Free FM acknowledges Coffee Culture Te Rapa and Nancy Cager for supporting our political content this year, including Free Choice and our Election Day coverage. Now here's your host, Kelly Pike.
Welcome to Free Choice, Jack Gehlen for Hamilton East and Mayor.
Yes, thank you very much.
Tell us a bit about your background.
Well, I've been a pastor, counsellor, community worker. I've been working with Families for Justice, helping mothers and fathers get access to their children. And so I have been an activist, working with suicide prevention, practicing suicide first aid buddy support. And so more of a socialist, I believe, with my concerns for the community, helping people out and elevating the status of all people. Yeah.
So that, I guess, why are you standing then?
Yeah, well, that's right, because I have a number of concerns. I'm a bit concerned about democracy, participatory democracy, transparency on the council, accountability and integrity. And also, I don't like the way that council, like the members that are currently in there, are playing off on one another, and they need to work inquisitorially to decide on points and work together more effectively. So there's a whole number of reasons. Stop executive fat cat salaries. They're on $150,000 a year. The mayor, as I learned that this morning, and the CEO is on $500,000, so I'm totally against that. And I'm also totally against the way that some of the leaders own 20 homes. And I think that they need to walk a mile in our shoes and understand where the average person is coming from in Hamilton. Yeah.
So do you have I know that you've mentioned that at a few meetings, but is it that you're against people owning 20 houses? Are you against the fact that they might not understand what it's like for the daily reality for most Hamiltonians?
Well, that's right. You know, if they own so many homes, and I've heard it's a corporate model that forgets the little man, you know, the ordinary businessman, the ordinary person on the street, but like, you know, disparities between the rich and the poor. They seem to be getting broader, and this is a trend right around the world currently.
So it's about inequalities
and the elitists at the top, they have so much, but they need to practice wealth distribution, and we need to share the wealth between all people.
So I've seen you at a couple of candidate events.
Yes.
Look, everyone who stands for council has the best of intentions when they go in. So who or what are you talking about when you talk about needing a clean sweep? If they're all going in there with the best of intentions, if you're elected, won't you be one of them?
Yes, one of the people that go in. A clean sweep, I mean, we've had the same old probably for 20 years. I can't name them, you know, but people know who they are. And they seem to retire in there practically. And I think it should be three terms and you're out. And that came out this morning. And I think sometimes, particularly the older age people, they're a bit dinosaur-like, you might say. And we need a new wave, new talent. And we have so many young people that they're putting their names up forward, like, and most of them would probably be between the ages, 25 and 35. Why can't we have a totally new bunch in there? Although they're saying that they would have to be mentored by a couple of people. But every time we have the elections, you only get maybe one. Very seldom you get two new ones in there, but I think we need at least four or five new ones.
With absolutely no disrespect, but you're not a spring chicken. So if you're talking about wanting new, no disrespect, yeah, but if you're wanting new, you've said you want new voices in there.
Yeah.
So what makes you different?
Well, I'm creative. I work from the heart. I understand family. I understand young people. I understand history. So I feel that although I'm getting older, I've seen the paralysis in the council and the fact that it's the same old, and like in terms of homelessness and in terms of the infrastructure and the CBD and so forth. We don't seem to be changing that much.
Okay.
So,
If we're going to talk a little bit outside of how our current council is made up and just talk about some of the priorities that you would work towards on the issues rather than the makeup of our council, what would they be?
Well, my first policy would be responsible spending. See, I'd want to balance the need for new projects with the need to keep out of debt, because the debt is far too high. I think it's currently, $370 million, and plus the rates people are going to be paying in the future, I think it's up to $4,000, so it's far too much. And, of course, rates, I'd focus on keeping the current infrastructure, core services, community facilities and necessary roading in good order, and open transparency of the books. I think we had that with Hardacre, didn't she tried to open up the books because we all we had that massive debt. Remember, it's the stock cars, and then there was Claudelands, and now it's the new theatre that's coming in. So we've got all this massive debt, and people are deeply concerned about it, you know, and what are the rates going towards? Yeah.
And so what are your other priorities?
My second priority would be business growth. Our open transparency, the books with public audits and business grants will keep us accountable to the people while contributing to healthy economic growth.
So are you saying the ratepayers will be paying businesses to support them?
No, we need to work in cooperation with businesses, to impart more of a social conscience, like provide answers to the homelessness that we have.
And what are your answers for the homelessness?
Well, we need to incorporate the homeless people into our societies, because like currently with the safety people on the street, they're being banned off the street. And we need to find ways of producing land pack houses through Bunnings. Apparently that's one method. You can have a house for $100,000. And council has so much red tape, and business developers are taking so much of the pie, they generally take one-fifth, which is $100,000. We could cut a lot of corners to improve housing for people. I had this idea of Mega 4. I'm working with a particular lady on it, where they can provide homes for $60,000 a home, and you can put 40 homes on 1 acre. Why aren't we taking drastic measures to provide homes for people? So council's always talking about the massive increase it is for buying homes, but are they coming up with any solutions to the problem? And so I think that they need to be more direct in providing answers to the homelessness that's going on and the lack of homes.
I mean, you're talking about housing supply there, which is, I guess, one of the big things that we've been in general talking about, given that growth is a major challenge for the city. So, I mean, how do you feel about the Peacock development? What are your thoughts on that development?
Well, it's a wonderful thing. The cost of those homes would probably be pretty high, obviously. And I think they were talking about 8,000 homes over about 10 years, whatever the case may be. A brilliant idea, but how expensive are those homes going to be? How expensive is the infrastructure and everything else going to be? And are they going to provide us with homes for everyone? You know what I mean? A lot of people are actually going to miss out, aren't they?
So I guess sticking with the idea of growth, I mean, are you happy with the current council's approach to infrastructure around the city, things like public transport or the roading?
I think you do need essential facilities like the libraries. You do need the roading kept up, as you were saying, and the water, the sewage, that needs to be maintained. But we don't need to overspend on it. So
how do you provide something without overspending? Can you elaborate on what that overspending bit means or refers to?
Right. Like, for instance, with the current theatre being $70 million, obviously that's a huge debt, isn't it?
Or $25 million from the council.
From the council, yeah. And why couldn't they have the restored the Founders Theatre? A lot of people are actually asking that question. It's a huge problem, the debt. So that needs to be balanced with the need to spend on facilities and basic infrastructure. But don't overspend.
Don't overspend. So your thoughts on the environment? How are we doing enough?
No, I don't think we are, because the current council said they don't believe in climate change. And when you look
at... I don't think the current council said they don't believe in climate change.
Mallard said that at one of the meetings.
We just want to be clear about that.
Yeah. But with the drainage and the storms we've been having just lately, we've had a lot of flooding going on. So you can't deny that climate change isn't a reality, and the rising of the seas that are going on currently, and the earthquake proofing of homes. So we've got to deal with climate change, you know what I mean? But people are actually saying, where's the money going, you know? So we'd have to prove that the money was going into provide solutions to carbon emissions and solutions to over-flooding or whatever the case
may
be.
And so what specifically are the solutions that you would prioritise for climate action?
Climate action, you've got to earthquake-proof homes. It's kind of like civil defence. Make sure that if there's an earthquake, you're prepared for it. With the flooding, your infrastructure has to come up, your drains, drainage and so forth has to come up to scratch. And what are some of the other areas that climate change affects?
I'm interviewing you, Jack.
Carbon emissions. Carbon emissions, yeah. Reduce the carbon emissions.
And how are we going to reduce carbon emissions?
Well, go into electric cars, Lime scooters.
And does the council have a role in that?
I think they do. They need to step up, technologically speaking, to keep up with the times of IT and... I think we need to have a deep concern about electric cars for the future and our transport, how we could actually have more people going by buses, have more people carpooling. So I think transport would be a big factor in that, and they're currently talking about the train going up to Auckland and putting that in place by next year.
And how do you feel about that decision?
I think that's a brilliant decision, because that incorporates our history. There's something in the paper about history needing to be taught in our schools.
How does that relate to the train? Sorry.
Well, I mean, you've got a number of spots between here and Auckland. Tikawata, Huntley. So I feel it's not only a pleasant journey, like to go to work or whatever, but it's also all this beautiful scenery and so forth. Yeah.
So we know that if there's an election, local or central government, that you probably will stand.
Yep.
How do you feel you're going this time compared to other elections?
Well, I've been a bit controversial in other times, and I wait for an event. Like, I had that event on Wednesday evening, so I felt that was quite good. But I brought out the multicoloured headdress today, and I brought it out last night at that event, because I really felt, when they were talking about diversity last night, I was listening to them all, but they weren't coming up with any solutions. They were talking about Tino Rangatiratanga, the Maori perspective. Yeah. But then there was the Muslim perspective and part of the interfaith movement. But really, and with feminisation and the way that's moving now, we really need to sit down and talk to one another, don't we? Like, I remember I talked to one woman from Sharma, and she mentioned that's for a woman who'd been abused. But I said to her, well, what about reparenting programs for men too and for fathers? oh no. And I thought to myself, why is it that we get one perspective but not the other? We claim there's discrimination and there's it's the white males that have taken over. Last night they were talking about that. But I feel, I mean, when you talk about 300 males committing suicide a year.
Sorry, Jack, I know that you're really passionate about this issue, but we need to go to our yes, no questions.
Yep.
So would you vote to change from first past the post to STV?
Yes, I would.
Would you vote to keep the Māngai Māori seats?
Yes.
Would you vote for a living wage for staff and contractors?
Yes, but I'm not so sure about that one.
Are developers paying enough in contributions?
No.
Should Hamilton City Council have declared a climate emergency?
Yes.
Should we be changing the names of Bryce Fontemski and Grey Streets?
Yes.
Jack Gillen for Hamilton East and Mayor, thanks for joining us on Free Choice 2019.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Be entertained and informed. Free FM 89.0. For more episodes of this Community Access Radio show, please visit freefm.org.nz. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this podcast possible by funding the Access Internet Radio Project.